One of the men in our church, Jason Weber, he came up to me this morning, and I don't even know if he realizes it, but I just believe he got a prophetic word this weekend, and he was sharing it with me this morning. I don't even know if he would have called it that, but I feel that it's important today, and I just wanted to share it with you what he was sharing. It's from this story here in Exodus 17. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. They're in a battle. There's a battle taking place, and what you do in the physical affects what happens in the spiritual, and what happens in the spiritual affects what happens in the physical. What we do in the physical, in the natural, it matters to what's going on in the spiritual, and then what happens in the spiritual affects what's happening here on earth in the physical. It's all connected. Do you see that here in the story? When Moses' hands became heavy, when they began to fall, the enemy began to prevail. Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." What you do in the physical, a physical step of obedience, all it was simple. Just hold your hands up. But a physical step of obedience affects what happens in the spiritual. And when that happens, when that change in the spiritual takes place, what's it do? It comes back and changes things in the natural. Today at the end of service, there is a man in our church who's taking a physical step of obedience. And he's saying yes to Jesus by submitting himself in the waters of baptism. It will change what's happening in the spiritual. And when the spiritual changes, his life will change in the natural. It's all connected. If he's telling you a physical step of obedience today, trust him that when you take that and you say yes, it will change what's happening in the spiritual, and then your circumstances and the natural will begin to shift supernaturally. But it starts with a simple step of obedience in the natural. And you might think that's dumb, it's not going to make a difference. No, what could matter if I just raise my hands? What would change if I just began to raise my hands during worship? Everything. It's a physical step of obedience, and it's so simple. But when you take that simple step of obedience, it changes what is happening in the spiritual, and it will change your life in the natural because you begin to submit yourself to Jesus and what he's doing. He wants to move in your life today. Will you take a simple step of obedience today? It might be at the end when we have an altar call. It might be just getting up and moving forward, moving your feet. What's that simple step he's calling you to make today? Let's pray. Father God, I pray for boldness in this room. Jesus, I pray for boldness. Where there has been fear, we just command fear to leave in the name of Jesus. Fear, go. Where there's been insecurity, where there's been doubt, where there's been apathy, We just command it all right now. Leave in the name of Jesus. No other spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that there's men and women who are hearing your voice for the very first time. I just pray that they're feeling the fire in their hearts begin to burn. As you begin to put in their chest, that they would just know this is a sign from you. Lord Jesus, we just make space for you. We just ask that you would move today in this place, that you would get all the glory. Father God, I just pray for faith to believe that as we take a simple step in the natural, whatever it might be, that we will have faith that it's going to shift things in the spiritual, and our lives will begin to transform again in the natural, and we will begin to find victory in places we never thought possible to find victory. We'll find freedom in areas we never thought it'd be possible to get free from pornography, from addiction, from drugs, from sexual addictions, from lust, from ideas and thoughts of hopelessness and despair, from depression. I just believe right now that if we'll take a step of faith in the natural to just declare who you are, to raise our hands, to walk in obedience to you, that it will shift things in the spiritual and our lives will be set free in the natural. Jesus, in your name we pray and we believe today. People are getting set free. If you believe that today, say, Jude, let's go to Jude. Man. Yeah, I still feel he's just stirring people up right now. If you feel that heat in your chest, just know that's him speaking. If you've never felt him speak before, if you didn't know that, he's just coming down and he's laying his hand on you right now. He loves you. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we jump in, I know there's a lot of new people in here today. Let me go back to week one. If you missed week one of Jude, all I covered were verses 1 and 2. That was it. Week 1, 1 and 2. I think I'm just getting 3 and 4 today. And if you want notes, I got notes. You can follow along. Rev Notes. There you go. Text Rev Notes to 94,000. You can get the notes today. You can get all the scriptures I'm using, everything. But if you missed last week, I want you to hear the words of Jude, what he says to this people, to this church that he's writing this letter to. That's what's happening here. This first century church, he's writing a letter to them. He says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, he knows his identity first and foremost. It's to serve Jesus. What's your identity? Where do you put your identity in? You serve somebody. You might think you're free. Here in America, we think we're free all the time. It's like, oh, I'm free. No. You serve someone. You serve something. Where do you give your time? Where do you give your money? Where do you give your talent? Where do you give it all? You serve somebody. Jude, first and foremost, he knows his identity is a servant of Christ. And then he says this to the church, to those who are called. He wants you to know that you're called. If you're here today, if you're here in the room, you answered a call. You might just think, oh, your neighbor invited you, your friend, your family member. You might just think, oh, they just invited me. They kind of dragged me along. That's all that called me. No. Jesus called you here for a reason today, and he's going to speak to you. He's got a word for you. You're called. Today, you chose. You took a simple step of physical obedience, and you got into the room today. And I'm telling you, it's going to shift your life in the spiritual, and it's going to transform your life in the natural. That's how he works. Every time you take a simple step in the physical, things begin to shift spiritually. Angels begin to go to war for you. There is a fight going on in the spiritual. There are demons warring for your soul, but there are angels fighting on behalf of the Lord for you. They're intervening. Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you today. Because he said, my son is in the house today. He's in my house. My daughter is in the house today. Father, look upon them. I died for them. And the Father knows. He sees you, and he says, yeah, I called them. I sent you for them. I sent you for John. I sent you for Jane. I sent you for that daughter, for that son today. And I love them. You're called. You're called. The God of the universe called you today. You're sanctified by God the Father. Preserved in Jesus Christ. You're kept. You're preserved. Jesus is watching over you. When you give your life to Jesus, he preserves you. He keeps you. He protects you. Just say yes to Jesus. We warmed that water up today for Gavin. He's answering the call. But if you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to take that step. You need to give your life, son. I'm calling you back home. Because I'm the one. I'm the only one. No one else came for you. I came for you. If you want to answer that call today, we got extra towels out there. We got shirts out there. We can give you a shirt. We don't sell pants or shorts yet. Maybe someday. We'll give you what we got, though. If you need to answer that call, answer that call. We'll have a whole line of revival merch someday. Shorts, pants, sweats, we'll have it all. Socks. Jesus, he keeps you, he preserves you. In the days of darkness, when you look out at this world, you can see that darkness has crept in unnoticed. But we notice it now. Darkness came in right alongside the church. That's what it says. They came in right alongside the church. They got into the church. And they began to distort the church. So the church began to look less like the church and more like the world. You can see that right now. You can look at the Pope. You can see what the Pope has said in the past couple years. And what's he doing? The Pope crept in. I'm telling you. The Pope crept in and he began to distort the church. Because a lot of people call the Catholic Church their home. Listen, I love Catholics. There's a lot of God-fearing, God-loving Catholics out there. But the Pope has crept in and he's begun to distort what God's Word actually says. He's denying God's Word. How it happens, sometimes we think the Antichrist is going to be so obvious because what's it say right there? What's it say? And there will be many Antichrists. The Antichrist is a spirit. There will be many who walk in the spirit of the Antichrist. Understand that. What's it say about them? For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We think it's going to be so obvious that the Antichrist is going to come in and say, oh, I hate Jesus, I deny Jesus, I want nothing to do with Jesus. No. What does he do? By his words, he says all the right things. He blends in the right way. He crept in unnoticed. But by his actions, you can see that he denies the word of Jesus. The word became flesh. If you see someone or you hear someone and what they're saying and what they're doing does not line up with the word of God, I'm telling you, that's an Antichrist spirit. We always just thought it was going to be obvious. If they'll just come in and they'll have a neon sign that said, I hate Jesus. No. They'll say that they love Jesus. They'll say it with their mouth, but they'll deny it in every other area of life and how they live and how they speak. There's many that will say, Lord, Lord, but he'll say, I did not know you. The Catholic Church has a doctrine of infallibility. And basically, it means that whatever the Pope says is what Jesus would say. and what he's come in and said some of these past couple years, what he's put his stamp of approval on and said, no, this is actually okay, and this is not sin, and this is, what's he doing? He is lying to people. He's distorting the truth, and he's taking advantage of the sheep. That's what false teachers do. They come in and they take advantage of the sheep for their gain, because he says things that are popular in the world's eyes by cultural standards. And they sound good to itching ears. It's what people want to hear. Everybody's going to be okay. Everybody's going to be fine. It doesn't matter what you did, what you've done. Like, it's going to be okay. In fact, keep doing it. You were born that way. But what does Jesus actually say? Go and sin no more. I came so that you can be set free. He came so that you can be set free. If you're here today, I want you to know that. He didn't come to shame and condemn you. He came so that you can be set free. And I'm telling you, there's hope. Because we're seeing it in this house all the time. We're seeing people walk forward in freedom in ways that they never thought they could get free from. We're seeing marriages set free. We're seeing husbands set free from pornography and lust. We're seeing wives set free from insecurity and despair. We're seeing families set free, and kids begin to flourish because their mom and dad are learning to love the Lord first. And as they love the Lord first, they love each other better, more like Christ. And as they learn how to love Him and love each other, guess who benefits? Their kids. We're seeing kids grow up in this house that love the Lord, that love His house. I talked about this on Friday night at team night. We're seeing kids that don't want to leave the church. Let me tell you something. I didn't want to go to church when I was a kid, and I couldn't wait to get out of there when I was a kid. Because there's a spirit-less church. But man, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're in a church that is walking in the Spirit, that's full of His Holy Spirit, kids are a thermometer for what is going on in the Spirit. They pick up on it. They know. They don't want to leave this place. They don't want to leave this house because there's people here that are walking, filled with His Holy Spirit, filled with His presence, and there's the joy of the Lord in the house. You see it. You see these kids. They run around here on Sundays before. They run around here on Sundays after. You know, we might tell them to get off the stage, but other than that, we want them to have joy in God's house. And there's kids growing up in this house. They don't want to leave. In this season, my wife and I, we're here on Sunday nights leading a group through freedom. We're here on Wednesday nights because we got kids' church. Sometimes we're here on Friday nights because we got team night pouring into our volunteers here at the church. And let me tell you something. That this week, three nights this week, we told our kids, hey, we're going to church. You know what they said every time? Yes! Like, let's go! Like, that's it. Like, they want to be here. They want to be in God's house. You get to be a part of this. You're a part of this. You're helping raise up a generation of children that want and desire to be in God's house. When I was a kid and I was dragged to God's house and I had to listen, I got to be careful here. They did the best they knew how in the season they knew how. But I felt like I was dragged into God's house and I wanted nothing to do with it because it was dry there. There was no flow. There was no water. It was just a dry wasteland. I still remember as a kid, I would sneak out of Sunday school, and I'd go to the men's bathroom, and all I cared about at that time, I just wanted to be a professional baseball player, so I'd go to the men's bathroom, and I'd get on the, this is kind of gross, I'd get on the floor of the bathroom, and I would do push-ups. It's like, who knows what was on that floor? I was like, I was just training to be a professional baseball player someday. I didn't care about the church, I didn't care about God's house, I didn't care about any of that, because to me, it was dry bones. It was dead in there. It was lifeless. But then somebody invited me to a summer camp, and they said, you got to come to this thing. And for the very first time in my life, I heard somebody preach the gospel like they actually believed the words they were saying, and it changed my life. The Holy Spirit moved in that moment. He pierced my heart, and I repented, and I gave my life to Jesus. I said, Lord, my life is yours. That song that we sang today, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I didn't know what the heart of worship was, but I knew I wanted to come back to it. I knew I wanted to come back to Jesus. And He keeps calling you back today. And you're here today because He's calling you back. He's calling you back to the heart of worship. There's supposed to be joy in the house. It's fun. You get to do this. We get to gather every Sunday, every Wednesday. We get to do this. There might be some weeks where it feels like, man, it's hard. Like you're trying to get your kids ready. You're trying to get out the door on time. And the devil tries to whisper to you in that moment, you don't need to go. It doesn't matter. But you say, no, hell no, devil. Hell no. Because I know if I take a physical step of obedience and I get to God's house today, he's going to shift things in the spirit. And as he shifts things in the spirit, what's been going on with my life in the physical this past week, how I've been struggling, how I've been sick, how I've been feeling like there's a lack, like there's no provision. If I will just take a physical step of obedience and I'll get to his house, he's going to shift things in the spiritual. And this next week, this next day, this next hour is going to be different because he's going to change things supernaturally. Take a step of obedience this week. You already did. Some of you already did, and I'm just declaring for you today, by faith, he's going to shift things. He's shifting things right now. You feel your heart. You feel stones being torn away. You feel things breaking right now off you, things that you didn't think could get broken. And he's breaking it, and he's setting you free right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel that right now. I feel the fire of God coming on some of you. I feel the fire flowing through my hands right now. Every now and then, my hands get numb when the Holy Spirit starts to move. Some of you are like, is that a medical condition? No, it's not. It's not. I can't feel my hands right now. And I know he's in this place and he's healing you spiritually. There's stones shifting and getting broken. Say yes to him today. Say yes. My goodness, I haven't done anything I've written today. Praise God. Some days I'm like, I got a good plan. And he's like, I got a better plan. thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Man. All right. Beloved. Here's Jude again. Beloved. We're in a house where he's raising up leaders. They're going to change the world. You could change the world. Some of you, you already are. You've already said yes. Your yes is changing the world. Pastor Andrew, he talked about this on Friday night at team night. If you'll just say yes and you'll take a step of boldness in the natural, he talked about this. He said a few years back, he took a step of boldness and said yes to Jesus. And this was back when we were doing youth ministry together at our old church. And he took a step of boldness and he went up to a new family in church that he did not know, he'd never seen, he'd never met before. And he just said, I'm going to go up and I'm going to try to connect with this family. This is their first time here. I've never seen them before. And I'm going to try to connect with them. And that's a hard thing. But if you'll take a step of boldness, he will honor that. And he will use that. Even if you feel like you're awkward and you don't know what you're doing, you don't know the right words to say, just trust that he will use your step. He will use your obedience. And he went up to this family, and they had this high school kid. And I'm going to steal his story right now. I'm going to share your story for you, Pastor Andrew. He goes up to this kid, and he's like, hey, how's it going? You know, he's trying to relate to this high school kid. How's it going, man? Do you like Pokemon Go? That was popular at the time, I think. And this high school kid was like, no. and so he's like trying to talk and connect. And he's just like, hey, you should come to youth group on Wednesday. And before you know it, like this kid starts coming and his family starts coming more and they start getting involved. In fact, his family even starts to serve. And before you know it, this kid, he keeps coming and coming. And all of a sudden he says yes to even being a student preacher. We did a student preach night at our youth group and we'd let students do a little mini sermon. And he felt the call of God and we felt the call of God on his life. And we said, we feel like you need to preach. And he got up and preached, and his whole family came. And before you know it, he was saying yes and yes and yes. One yes leads to a million yeses. You don't know what your yes will lead to, but it led to the yes of a young high schooler and his family. And that kid, he said yes to going to Bible college, and he said yes to stepping into an internship at Revival Omaha, saying, hey, I know you can't pay me, but I believe God is doing something, and he called me here. You don't know what your yes will lead to. Thank you for your yes, Pastor Andrew. Thank you for your yes, Pastor Stone. You don't know what it'll lead to. It will change eternity for somebody when you say yes in the natural. Woo. Pastor Stone, a few weeks ago, he said, I'm going to start moving the front row back a little bit. You guys have noticed there's a little more space up here. And I just realized I was spitting everywhere on that. I was like, oh, that's why he did that. That's why he did that. Thank you, Pastor Stone. The front row is thanking you right now. Woo. Say yes. Just say yes to him. Pastor Andrew, thank you for stepping in and saying yes that day. I don't know where you are, but you know I'm looking at you. You didn't care. You stopped caring what the world says. You stopped caring what the world thinks. You stopped caring, oh, they might think I'm awkward. They might think I'm weird. They might think I'm strange. Be bold. Be bold as a lion, because that's who your Father is. That's who Jesus is. He's the Lion of Judah. Be bold like a lion. Say yes. Leaders, I keep trying to preach my sermon, and then he just keeps taking me other places. Leaders love. Leaders love. That's what Jude is saying right here. He says, beloved, you're loved. You're loved. Not only does the Father love you, not only does Jesus love you, but I as a leader love you. Good leaders love. They love. Number two, leaders know. When you see something, when you observe something, when you hear something, you trust what the Holy Spirit is telling you, what he's showing you. He was showing Jude something about this church. Jude knew what was going on. Trust what he's revealing. Trust what he's showing you in those moments. We see that here in Jude. He's aware of something going on. He had other plans. What did he want to do? He says, I had other plans. I wanted to write to you about the common salvation. I wanted to write to you about what Jesus has done. He saved you. He loves you. That's fun, right? But instead, something, man, what's this mic doing? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Go back to doing what you're supposed to do. He knows what's going on. He had plans. There's times where you're going to have plans in life. Some of you had plans today, but you knew spiritually something was going on in your life, and you knew, I just need to get to God's house. I wanted to be golfing today. I wanted to be sitting at home. I had other plans today, but I know I need to be here. I know I need to say yes today. Jude, he had other plans. He had things he wanted to talk about, things he wanted to do, things he wanted to preach about. I've been there. There's times I'm like, I wanted to preach on Jude a year and a half ago, but he was like, no, now's not the time. I'll tell you when it's time. Right now, you need to talk about this. Jude had other plans. When you know, when you sense something in the Spirit, when you know he is telling you something, he's revealing something to you, say yes to him. That's what Jude did. He was aware of something going on. He had other plans, but he changes those plans because he knows something is going on with his people. Leaders, begin to trust what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you're in this house, let me tell you something. Everybody's got a next step. But your next step is to step into leadership. No matter where you are or how new you might be to the faith, there is somebody you can begin to lead. So begin to love those people God has placed under your care. It might be in the workplace. You might be a manager. It might be at home. You might be raising kids. You might be a single parent. Guess what? You're a leader. And so the very first thing is to learn how to love them, and then learn how to know them and know what's going on. Learn how to know what the Holy Spirit is saying and speaking to you. When you give your life to Jesus and you invite the Holy Spirit in, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak to you. Begin to trust his voice in your life. When he is pointing things out to you, when he's revealing things to you, trust what he is saying to you. Begin to know and understand those situations, those circumstances. Begin to know his voice. When you know his voice, you know his people. Wherever you lead, however you lead, begin to know those people and to love them and to encourage them. Three, leaders challenge. They don't ignore the problem. There was a problem with this church. They don't ignore the problem. They address it. That's what Jude is doing here. He doesn't ignore it. He addresses it. Confront it head on. When you love them and you know them, you can challenge them. If you're taking notes today, write this down. Write this down. When you love them and know them, then you can challenge them. Too many people in the church, we try to go straight to the challenge. It's like, hey, I don't know you. I really, you know, you can't even say that I care about you. I just met you today, but I just want to say, You're terrible. You're doing it all wrong. You suck. That's not helping anybody. That's not helping anybody. But when you get to love them and you get to know them, then all of a sudden, when it comes to that time to challenge them, guess what? They're going to be able to receive that. This man today, Gavin, I'm sorry, man. I'm just using you as all kinds of examples today. But I want to tell you something. He came into this house about a year ago. And he hadn't really been walking deep with the Lord, but he just kept saying yes and yes and yes. He just kept saying, yes, I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the small group. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to start to serve in the house. And he just kept saying yes to these simple physical acts of obedience. And one yes led to another. And I just wanted him to know when he came into the house, I love you. And then I wanted to get to know him, and I got to know him. And recently, I was able to sit down, and I was able to challenge him. But if I had jumped straight to the challenge, if I had skipped beginning with love and getting to know him, I don't think he would have received the challenge. But when I sat down with him and I gave him a challenge, let me tell you something. His heart was open and ready to receive. If you will love your people that God has placed under you, if you'll get to know them, then you can challenge and encourage and exhort them to greater things, because they will know they love me, they care for me, this must be something that's better for me. They can receive the challenge. That's a revelation for somebody. You lead somebody right now and you've been challenging them, but you haven't gotten to know them and you have not loved them. If you will flip that right now, starting today, when you go back to work on Monday, if you'll just begin to love them and encourage them and know them. And some of you come from the school of hard knocks, and that's how you were raised, and you were just raised. It doesn't matter how people feel. It doesn't matter what they're going through. And it doesn't matter how you lead. If you're a coach, if you're a boss, and you've always gone straight to challenge, and you've never loved your people, you've never known your people, I promise you today, if you will flip that, if you'll start with love, if you'll start with knowing them, then you can challenge them. And it will change your team. It will transform your team. Your team will become more fruitful and more productive than it's ever been. Your kids will become more fruitful and more productive and more flourishing than they have ever been. You've just been challenging your kids. You've just been coming down on your kids, but you haven't really gotten to love them, to know them, to spend time with them. But if you'll flip that script, it will change and transform everything. People keep talking all the time about how hard it is to raise kids. And let me tell you something. There are moments that can be challenging. There are moments that can be difficult. But most of those moments, when I look at them, I realize most of those moments, I didn't actually take the time to sit down with my kid and to listen to them, to actually know what's going on within their heart. Most of the time, I just saw a behavior, and I wanted to correct the outward behavior. And I came down, and it wasn't a challenge. It was a demand. And I demanded change this right now. But I didn't know how to understand the why behind the behavior. There's always a why behind the behavior. When you get to know people and you get to understand, you begin to realize there's always a why behind the behavior, behind the sin, behind what's going on the outside. There's something that happened, and they haven't dealt with it. They haven't healed with it on the inside. I don't care what the sin is. Lust, homosexuality, transgenderism, whatever it is. We can look around at all the big ones in our world, or we can look at the small ones too, because they all matter to God, and he wants to transform and change and set us free from every one of those sins. He doesn't want you to walk in darkness anymore. He doesn't want you to feel like you have to keep lying anymore. Well, what's the why behind the lie? What's the why behind your identity? Why are you finding your identity in your sexuality or your gender? Why aren't you finding it in Christ? And when you get to know them, and they know that you actually care for them and you love them, and you begin to find out the why, well, it all started here. This was the root. You just keep looking at the fruit that it's producing, and the fruit is rotten and it's disgusting, and you're just like, you need to change your fruit. You can't change your fruit until you deal with the root. Ooh, praise God. Praise God. That's good. Write that down. That ain't me. That ain't me. I'm just being carried by the Holy Spirit. We just keep looking at the fruit and saying, oh, that's disgusting. That's awful. What's the root behind it? the fruit of what's going on sexually in our culture. It's disgusting. But what is the root behind it? There were evil, ungodly men that crept in, Jude tells us. And what do? They distorted the gospel of Jesus Christ. They said, you can go on living however you want. It doesn't matter. He died for your sins. Do whatever you want. And we miss out on the joy and beauty of obedience and living life to the full, walking in the Holy Spirit. That's what they're stealing from you. That's what these devils are stealing from you. When you begin to say, oh, I can go on sinning. I can do whatever I want. I'm saved by grace. Nobody can judge me, only God. You're missing the joy of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you're missing the full fruit that he wants to produce in your life. That's what those devils are stealing from you. That's what those antichrists are stealing from you. And so I just want to challenge you today. First of all, I love you. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. I want to know everybody. I can't know everybody. The church is going to explode. The church is going to explode because the Holy Spirit's moving. And the more it explodes, the more I need you to be the leaders that love our people that come in, to love the new people that come in. I need shepherds. God's raising up shepherds in this house. This is a message for shepherds right now. He's raising you up to be a shepherd in this house, to learn how to love people, to know people, and then to challenge people. You're going to shepherd people. First of all, you're going to shepherd your family. You're going to lead your family well. You're going to shepherd your kids. You're going to teach them how to love him, how to walk with him. And then he's going to bring you people because you steward your marriage well. You steward your kids well. He's going to trust you with more. And he's going to bring you people to steward, to love, to care for, so that you can love them, know them, and then you can challenge them. You can exhort them to higher and greater things, to walking in new levels of freedom that they never knew they could walk in, that they never knew were possible. Your leader's in the house. Who's he calling you to lead today? Start with love. Start with knowing them. The only reason we don't get to love people and know people first is because we don't think we have the time. We're too busy. Every night I go downstairs and I tuck my daughter in. And every night I'm tired. And I just want to go upstairs and I want to sit on the couch. And I want to turn on the TV and I want to turn off my brain. And I just want to rest and relax. But every night when I go down to tuck my daughter in, I'm like, all right, let's do this fast. Let's do this quick. Get in the bed. Come on, let's go. Get the blankets on. What does she want to do? I get down there. And she's got this big space in her room. And she's got this little trash can she sets up. She's got a balloon. And she says, can we play balloon volleyball? The trash can's the net. We hit over the trash can. And I'm like, I just want to go to bed, Lord. And he's like, spend time with her. Okay. And so we play this dumb little game of balloon volleyball to 3 points. Sometimes she wins. I win sometimes too. And then I'm kind of like, okay, good. Now, you know, the game's over. I can tuck you in and I can go up and do what I want to do. And last night I get down there and I'm tucking her in and she like grabs me and she like tries to wrestle me. And I'm like, what are you doing? I got to go upstairs. And she's like, no, just lay here for a minute and talk to me. I'm like, okay. And I just lay there. I just listen to her. And I just talk to her. Just love your kids. Get to know your kids. Don't just speed past these years. Don't just run past them. Don't just keep trying to go to the next thing. Get to know them. Love them. Enjoy every minute. Oh, God, I didn't know you were going to do this today, Lord. Ooh, I wasn't planning on crying. Okay. Just slow down in those moments and spend time with them. That's what he wants to do with you. Stop speeding past those moments that he's saying, hey, just sit with me. He's a better father than we'll ever be. He's a better mother than we'll ever be. Try to be like him. He's always patient. He's always kind. He'll always sit with you. He's always on time. You don't like his timing, but I'm telling you and I'm promising you, he's a better parent than any of us, and he's always on time. Just like we don't let our kids speed ahead and rush into things that they're not ready for yet, because we know the good timing. My daughter, what's she always want? She wants a cell phone. She wants all these things. She sees her friends have them. Timing, right? Because we're good parents and God's given us wisdom. And we said, no, now's not the right time. Thanks, brother. Jeez. Oh, praise God. Just the Holy Spirit's just hitting today in so many people's lives. He loves us. Spend time with him. And then spend that same time with your kids. Pour into them. I don't care if you got one kid, if you got four, if you got five. I don't care if you got none right now. I'm telling you, in this house, there's a blessing on producing families. There is. Some of you, I'm just declaring this right now. Some of you, you've been struggling with fertility. You stay planted in this house. The babies are going to come. I'm not saying that as a joke. I know you know. I know you know. But God wants to bless you. He wants to multiply you. But first, he just wants to love you and to know you. Spend time with him. And as you spend time with him, as you let your roots grow down deep in him, I'm telling you, he's going to bless you and he's going to prepare you to handle more. He's raising up fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers. He's been doing it with Steph and I. Wow, you look wrecked over there. Wow. Jeez. Brandon, if you got any more Kleenex, all right. He's been teaching us in this season how to love him, how to love each other better. We thought we were really good at it before. He's shown us there's always a next level. You might be in here today and be like, I've made it. I've arrived. I know everything. I'm great. There's always another level. You can go deeper. He's an infinite God. He's an infinite God. I'm telling you today, you have not arrived. We will never arrive. There's always more of him to experience. There's always more of him to get to know, to spend time with. He's infinite. Man. Keep letting him teach you. Stay planted. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you need is in the house. My friend Jake, he gave me a prophetic word today. He was playing bass, and he was feeling stirred up on that passage today of the men who go to see Jesus, and they're in a house, and they can't get in. The house is full of people. There's so many people. They can't get in, and they have this friend with them that can't walk. And they were so desperate to get to the house, they climbed up on the roof. They carried their crippled friend up on the roof, and they tore a hole in the roof, and they lowered him down to Jesus because they were just desperate to get in his presence. Don't lose that desperation. Get into the house. Get your kids to the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you need is in the presence of Christ. Worship team, let's get ready. Let's get ready to praise. Come on up. Man. Love, no challenge. Because I love my daughter, because I know my daughter, I can challenge her on things. It doesn't mean those challenges are going to be easy, but you still have to do them. You still have to say the challenge. Exhort them, challenge them. It means you come alongside them. You walk with them through it. Believing that for all the negativity, all the fear, everything that people speak over raising kids, over raising teenagers in our culture, I'm just believing in the presence of Christ, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be easy compared to what the world's seen. Because I love my daughter and I know my daughter, I can come alongside her and I can challenge her when the darkness tries to get a foothold in there. I can have those tough conversations. And I'm going to do that with every one of my kids. That's our plan. We're going to love them. We're going to know them. We're going to walk with them when the darkness tries to come, when the devil tries to get in. We're going to say, no, 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 devil, we're already here. You don't have a place here. You thought where a mother or father would be absent and that you could come in and you could speak lies to my daughter, to my son. No, I rebuke you, devil. You get out in the name of Jesus Christ. We're already here. We're planted here. This is our house. Nobody's moving in. Christ and Christ alone. Ooh, would you stand up as we get ready to worship? If you're one of those people that you like to follow along on the notes, I'm sorry, you're greatly disappointed today. You can read the notes later. You might get a preview of what might come next week. I don't know. We just answer the call here. We just answer the call of Christ. Number four, leaders sound the call. When Jude saw a problem, when he saw an issue, he sounded the call to God's people. In Nehemiah chapter 4, they are rebuilding the wall. The exiles are back, and they are rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, their holy city. Rebuilding the wall, the devil is trying to get in and attack them and come out. And the devil's trying to tear down that wall.